Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, God is good, right? All the time. You guys are amazing. It's so good to see you again. I've been away. I was not here last week, was I? I was in San Diego at the mighty C3 Church San Diego. And boy, they're going so well. They're nearly at about 7,500 people right now, which is fantastic. You know, we do talk about numbers sometimes, but you need to understand numbers are not what we're about. We're about names, and names are always more important than numbers. And even though Jesus, he's into numbers, like he knows when there's one missing out of 99. And like if you look at 100 people and 99 people, it looks pretty much the same, right? But when you are a diligent, careful shepherd, you look after every individual. And that's what we want to do through Connect Groups as well. Hey, guys, let's go to John 13, verse 34 tonight. And this is Jesus talking to us. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Let me pray. Father, I believe, God, that you will help us in this unbelievably important area that is too easily underestimated, Lord God, and to our own detriment, to our own tragedies in life. And I pray that, Father, you'll help us learn the art of relationships, learn the art of healthy community, learn the art of actually relating to one another in a successful way. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Okay, so all of us are taught things at school and in life, but one thing actually that we are really not educated about so well is relationships, how to get along with other people. And that's evident by the fact that half the marriages that are going to happen this year, which is 100,000 in Australia, half that number will end in divorce, 50,000 this year. Marriages will fall apart. That's one area where the tragedy is really bad. Parents and children fall out all the time. Some of you here tonight haven't talked to your father for years. Some of you might not have talked to your mother for years. Some of you got siblings, brothers and sisters that you haven't talked to because there's grudges, there's resentments, there's been a breakdown of relationships. Some of you used to have friends. Some of you used to have friends in a church. And yet between you and other believers, you hate each other. You don't love each other like Jesus said. You don't even want to meet each other. When you do meet each other, it's so awkward and really difficult. And you might have said things about them on Facebook or in letters, but now it's really, really bad. Here's the thing. We just don't need God. We need one another. And if we're to be healthy mentally and emotionally, we need to have one another in a very healthy way. Not just that we are codependent on each other. But in the New Testament, there is far more, far, far more about loving one another and getting along with one another than about getting along with God. There's only a couple or two or three references about actually really having a deep relationship and getting along with God. But there are hundreds of commands about how to get along with one another. You cannot ignore that God has called us together in community. And as we are engaged in caring for one another and understanding how relationships work with one another, we can actually have really successful relationships. But the problem is not many people actually have taught us how to have a successful relationship. In fact, if you just watch movies all the time, all you'll learn is how to destroy relationships. Because the kids smart mouth their parents, husbands berate their wives, wives roll their eyes at their husbands. There's bullying is a major problem these days, so there's all this anger and violence and aggression in relationships. And it's like, if I've got a friend, it's just because we happen to be friends. We happen to have found some level of commonality. And you hope that that's going to be enough. You think that that's going to be enough to keep you together, but it's not. There are practices, there are rules to relationships, there are boundaries, there are ways to relate to one another that will keep it alive. In marriage, people fall in love and they go, oh, I'm in love, I've got to get married, we've got to get married. And you get married and you think that love is going to keep you together? What? No, it's not. It's not going to be enough. What's love got to do with it? When you fall out of love after 5 years, when you got a mortgage and two messy poopy kids in the morning, and he will get up in the middle of the night and there's dirty dishes there and his in-laws are cruel to you and oh, you don't want to, what are you going to do? When you get all this pressure and strain on that love, it gets thinner and thinner. He doesn't look so hot. He doesn't look like Mount Olympus man anymore. She doesn't look like, you know, Justice Shield girls anymore. She doesn't look like, you know, the Wonder Woman. She used to go kabang and wow, sparks would fly. But now, oh, she's had two babies and, you know, things aren't as wonderful as they used to be. She's working on it and things are... Look, I gotta tell you, it's not all about that. There's a thing called how to relate to one another successfully. And Jesus said, love one another. That's not, if you happen to feel warm, gushy feelings for each other, that's really good. He doesn't say that. He says a command, love one another. Love one another, turn it on. Turn the love on and love one another. It's not if I happen to be in love, oh my God, I can't help myself. That's not real love. Real love is a decision that you make to get along with other people. And let me tell you, I think this is such an important part of life, because so many people are just so stupid in the way they relate to other people. I listen to what they say to another person. I think, how do you think that is going to help? How do you think that's going to help anything? They're angry. They vent, and they think that being angry with a person is going to fix it up. It doesn't. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. That's what James says. So getting angry with a person is going to fix it. It's actually going to make it worse. Proverbs says a soft tongue breaks the bone. A soft answer turns away wrath. So when somebody's going, and you go, man, I really understand why you'd feel like that. It drives them nuts. You're meant to go, back, like in the movies. And they go, and you just got all the yas. Your whole house is yah. Now your kids are walking around going, oh, daddy, you might not like all the yas. I lived in a house like that that had the yas all the time. I got out of there as soon as I could. I hate that sort of environment. I'm a peacemaker. All of God's children are meant to be peacemakers. Calm down, everybody. Talk quietly. It takes the steam out of the kettle. Relating to one another, oh, I can't even begin to start here because it would take me 3 hours to talk about each of the categories of how we relate to each other. That's why I wrote a book called You the Leader, because half of it is about how to get along with people. It's about leadership, but it's how to actually speak to people, how to get along. Do you know what getting along with people is? It means agreeing with them. Because if I disagree with you, I'm a hard work person. You met those people? That's such hard work. Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Yeah, I had a good week. Is your week been good? Yeah, not really. Yeah, it's just been miserable. You know, how could you have a good week? You know, like, and the world is like, it's, well, man, you can see that the world's good in it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good things going. Not in my world. No, my world's horrible. Well, I'm sure that things are going to work out. No, I don't think they will work out for me. If you're like that, you're just hard work. You got to get rid of that and learn how to switch over. And instead of us feeling sorry for ourselves, yeah, some people I can't feel sorry for. They feel sorry too much for themselves. It's all taken up. All the room is, you know. there's no more room there. It's like, don't feel sorry for yourself and try and endear people's sympathy towards you. Learn how to actually say, yeah, you're right. Life's going to work out for me in Jesus' name. You say, let's agree together on that. Even though it may not immediately, eventually it's going to. Learning how to get along with people is learning. Amos says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And when you start to learn to agree, it isn't that you have a mindless, gagged, blind lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to agree with everybody. Yeah, I'm not even going to think or whatever. I just say, yes, yes, yes.
I'm not saying that. All of us have a brain. And we sit here, and I sit in church sometimes. I'm listening to things, oh, there's another, oh, yeah, there's another side to that thing. But I'm not going to say that. When I'm in a conversation, there are people talking to me, and I just want to have a fight because I'm just tired and I'm angry. I'm thinking, oh, I feel like disagreeing with you. But I know that doesn't help the relationship. I got to fly in formation. You know those geese who fly in formation? They're always going to go 50% further because they're flying in formation. They're flying in the slipstream of somebody else. They're agreeing. They're not flying opposite. They're flying with them. You know how they have one is always longer than the other? You know that? You seen that when those geese are flying? When birds are flying, like one's like that and the other's like that, right? You know why that is? Because there's more geese in that line. Yeah, it's just a deep piece of profound thinking there. Yeah, it's amazing. I know. You know, if one of them gets injured and goes down to the ground, two others will go down with it and sit with it. Amazing. It's a little connect group, a little geese connect group down there. And they'll wait till it recovers. And you know what they do? They then fly up and catch onto another V organization of another connect group, you know, that was just flying along. And they hook in there. And the thing is, these guys then honk from behind. The geese, they have a honk language. Honk, 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 honk. Coming up from behind, honk, honk. What that is encouraging the guy up the front. Keep going, because he's the main slipstream guy. He's got like 40 geese flying in his slipstream. And so after a while, he falls back and somebody else goes up and takes that load and creates that whole V there. But they are honking from behind saying, you're doing a great job. You're doing amazing. One of the most powerful things you can do in relationships is encourage and believe in other people. When you start encouraging other people, they rise to a level they've never been before. That is why the community of faith is so important. There is a level of fellowship that happens with you and I in the church that cannot be obtained anywhere else. Now, when we kind of just, this is, work with me here. This is like a person. Okay, and they're just attending church and reaching out. And here's another person in church just reaching out. And oil, not even in church, just in life. Now, here's, oh. Thanks, guys. I just draw up here on my own little drawings and, yeah. I'll hold it up and you'll see it. It's not working. All right. Here's one person. Come up here, Richard Forsyth, yeah. Stand over there. Yeah. So Rich is one of the most expert relationship people I know on planet Earth. And I'll talk a bit about it. Why? But if I am just talking from my head, giving information, today is going to be like this, tomorrow is going to be like that, and we're going to be doing this and this and this. This will go from here to here, head to head. And there's not a lot of fellowship when you're just head to head people. If you're sitting in a classroom with a teacher, head to head, not a lot of relationship going on with your teacher. If there is, it's a little bit dodgy anyway, but you know, you kind of just do your head to head, right, okay. So, but then, you know, when I open up my heart a little and I go like, you know, I really feel the possibly. And you got to manage who you do that with. You need to be a level of trust before you enter into intimacy. You don't want to be laying at your heart with everybody because some of them go, oh, yeah, whatever. And you get all brokenhearted and feel bruised. So, you know, it's like there's got to be some level of trust happening before I go like, hey, Rich, you know, I'm not doing okay right now. Not sure if you can help me and we can pray. Or he might say, you know, I just lost somebody important in my life and I feel it, you know, you stop for a moment and because I'm wanting that deeper heartfelt connection, which is what happens in the connect group. You got all these people around, you go, wow, yeah, we're with you, man. You know, like, let's pray together. And that's a beautiful feeling when you know somebody cares for my soul. David, his lament in one of the Psalms is, I looked to the right and left and I couldn't find one person who cared for my soul. And sometimes it's good to know God cares for you, but you can't see him, you know. You need somebody who's right there. You need people, and you are Jesus to people. You and I are Jesus to people. And so that happens in a connect group. It doesn't really happen in church. You don't walk over to somebody and say, oh, I'm really just, you know, feeling bad. You know, like, who are you? I'm a visitor. You know, like, it doesn't really happen in church. Or in the coffee line, you don't start sharing. Say, hey, man, I'm, you know, really struggling with something. You actually need another environment. And sometimes people are looking for that in a therapy group or in a thing. But I'm telling you, in a connect group, it's a very healthy, solid environment where, and that's the reason why they need to keep reducing and not and multiplying, not just become big, because the bigger it gets, the less of that happens. And so when you got a connect group, a small group, there is a level of heart-to-heart that needs to happen and can happen. Then there is another level, which is where my spirit and his spirit feel a connection. Now that is like a divine thing where I know I am really connected with this man in a purpose, and we're on the same page, marching to the beat of the same drum. Now when I find that connection with a person, I know my capacity in life has suddenly doubled. I know my potential has increased sometimes tenfold. What I could do on my own and what I can now do with him, it's multiplied 10 times at least, because a certain energy and synergy happens that I can accomplish when I'm spiritually in tune and resonating with another brother or another sister or in a team together where we are accomplishing things together. And that becomes an amazing event. Now, because the devil sees that connection, that unity, that power of agreement, he will try and attack this relationship here because it has power. He would rather that I be completely isolated. Isolation is not something God has designed for you and I. It is from the devil. In fact, all the visions and dreams you read about of people who've been to hell, they will tell you that there is no party down there. You don't meet your friends down there and have a woo party or something. Yeah, I'm going to go there. Everybody is so self-absorbed in their own grief and weeping and gnashing and pain that they could care less about anybody else down there, and nobody is in touch with anybody else. In fact, the hell of hell is isolation, is complete alienation. And that is why some people are living in that kind of hell right now. Right now, they're in Sydney living in a lonely, aching void, hoping that there's somebody they could touch hearts with, that they could feel spiritual community with. But it's impossible to have it until you actually connect with Jesus Christ. And when you connect with him, he takes the film. There's like a film across our soul that is called sin, and it's called iniquity. And those things that separate from God also separate from one another. When you've offended somebody and you meet them, it's like there's a wall, right? There's, hi, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm all right. Well, what are you up to now? And you're not dealing with the real issue because you know there's this offense. Yeah, well, you know, one day I guess we'll be able to get along. And then you get angry with each other because there's no repentance and no reconciling. So you say, well, You ever going to do anything about that problem? Well, no, not really. I don't feel like it's my responsibility. Why should I be doing something like that? Or if you've loaned money from somebody and it hasn't been repaid, you haven't repaid it when you meet them. There's always that elephant in the room just over there. I know I owe them money. When are they going to pay back that money? And we're talking about, hey, nice day today. Yeah, sun shining. But underneath, there's this disturbance in the force. There's this ugly feeling going along. Now, when that is there, it's like there's a separation. That's the same as you have with God, a separation. But once all that is cleared away, what a beautiful feeling it is to hug somebody and all the walls have gone. There's no film over their spirit. You feel like, wow, we are connecting. And there is a chemistry. There is a magic that happens in that connection that cannot be obtained anywhere else. And God has called us not individually, not in isolation, but together. And we are to actually do things together by the power of the Holy Spirit. So looking after those relationships becomes immensely important. So the devil is trying to attack and divide, and he'll tell him something by another person about me that's not true, but you just wonder. And if he's opening up to it, it's going to just create this little question mark in the relationship. But you see, this guy, Richard Forsyth, virtually every Sunday when I go home, he's got a text on my phone said, unbelievable preaching, Pastor. I mean, even if it wasn't, even if I preached like an old chook, he's still got, man, that was good tonight. Look, I just love being in the house of God. Every time he stands up, he will say something encouraging about me, or not every time, but a lot of the times. You say, when we learn, have faith, my wife who's nearly dead, and I was dropped out and going nowhere, we found life, and he reminds himself, and that helps me love him, helps me be encouraged, helps the relationship. When you don't say anything, silence is a disconnector. How do you connect? By communication. If you don't communicate, it disconnects. If somebody sends you a gift and you say nothing, you don't say thank you, you don't take a photo of it and send a text, say, well, it just means so much to me. But you just don't say anything. They think, oh, they didn't like it. Oh, they didn't get it. Or, you know, man, it's not. You got to work on a relationship. You say, oh, I can't be bothered sending texts every time somebody says, you got to be bothered. If you want relationships, it's going to cost you a lot more than just a few thank you texts. And your life should abound with thank yous. Thank you for everything to everybody. But then to make a relationship work is going to take more than that. It's going to take, how can I help? Should be a maxim in your mind. Let me help you. Put it across your mind so that you're not thinking when you meet a person, how can they help me? You're thinking, how can I help them? How can I do something good for them? Thank you, Richard. You've been brilliant up here. Massive acting. Your relationships will thrive when you are connected to other people and communicating positive things. Let words march out of your mouth like soldiers to war against every evil, sick thing in this life. Do not let them walk out as zombies, trying to bite somebody. Your words should not be zombie-like. I have never watched one of those movies. I look at them and I think, that's just super gross. And there's guys, I've seen the shorts with the shotguns and they just blow them and they all blow up and go to smithereens. I know some of you really are into it like Mark Saundercock, but I just will not. As if a pastor could ever watch that and be holy. You know, it's... And then what? Some guy made a Z-World thing and spent $500 million on it and they're all climbing up on airplanes. I mean, when you fill your head with that stuff and fill your mouth with the conversations that you're getting out of the media, it ain't going to help your relationships. Learn a whole new way of talking to other people. If you haven't got something good to say, don't say it. If you got something good to say it. When you think of something good to say to people, say it. Look after relationships. Jesus said, love one another. Paul defines love. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, look, if I could speak all the languages of the world, I didn't have love. It's nothing. I'm just an empty gong, a hollow cymbal. I'm nothing. If I give my body to be burned, if I sacrifice my life as a martyr for Jesus, but I don't love people, it means nothing. That tells me that God's greatest concern about us is how we treat other people. The greatest thing God is looking for, above all the other things that you do or accomplish in this life, is not how religious you are, but how you treat other people. If you see a bleeding, dying man on the road, that you don't avoid him, but you help him. How can I help? Let me help you. Talking, helping. Two things that will help your relationships thrive in this life. Let me just tell you what love is. It's patient. Patience, that word patience is never with things, it's with people. I wish it was with things. Because you can kick them when your patience runs out. But how long does it take for a person to blow your fuse? Some people got a really short fuse. You say, hi, how are you? It's like just no fuse at all. You know, when I was a kid, I'd hold those crackers and would, you know, just see how long you could hold them before they blew up and you'd throw it away. Some of them had a really quick, short fuse. You'd light them, your hands all sort of black and wounded. Patience. Have a long fuse and you'll never be lonely. Thinking about loneliness, I heard a story of a guy, three guys who were in a boat out in the middle of the ocean. Wandering around there and a bottle goes look, 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 along. They pick it out. Look inside, boom, out comes a genie. So the genie says, "Ooh, you got one wish each, guys." First guy says, "Oh man, I wish I was back home with my girlfriend." Poof, gone. The other guy says, "Whoa, I don't have a girlfriend, but I wish I was back home in my town. I love my town." Poof, gone. The other guy sitting there says, "Man, it's lonely here. Wish they were back." Loneliness, it's a big issue, mostly because we just haven't learned how to relate to other people. We haven't learned to reach out, haven't learned how to get along. And we're going to teach you how to do that over these few weeks. Read the book, You're the Leader. Talks in there all the different ways of how to make relationships work in your world. The whole world, your whole world is running around on relationships. If you break your relationships, you break your future. We move through life at the speed of our relationships. If we're breaking them all the time, we'll be moving real slow, going round in circles on the same issues. Learn how to get along with people above you, beside you, below you. Learn how to relate to people properly. The Bible is full of how you can have successful relationships in the New Testament.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.